Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Memra by Ram Goldharan. Today, Maseches Chulin, Dav Chavav. The first parak, Hakol Shoichetin. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan and Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three Davs are going to focus on number one. Rav Nachman said in Rabba Bravo's name, Temed Shalakhu Bekesav Meiser. Temed, a drink made by soaking grape seeds in water, which one purchased with Meiser Sheni money, meaning money used to redeem Meiser produce, Ubasov Hichmit, and the Temed later fermented, Kanamaiser. The Temed acquires Meiser status, although it had not fermented at the time of purchase, Igu Milsu Mafreya Deperahu. It is retroactively revealed that it was a fruit product since it was capable of fermenting. The Gemara objects that the previous Mishnah taught that only fermented Temed may be purchased with Meiser money, but not unfermented Temed. But perhaps if he would leave the Temed, it would later ferment as the majority does. Rabbi answers that the Mishnah's cases where he retained a cup of Temed, which did not ferment. Rava says that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. A Mishnah states that if 3 lugin of water, minus a mere kortov, was completed with a kortov of wine or milk, it does not disqualify a mikveh of less than 40 saw. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Hakol holech achav amara. Everything follows the color. Thus, 3 lugin, which includes milk, would disqualify the mikveh. Here, since the temet appears and tastes like water, he holds it cannot be purchased with Meiser funds. Point number 2, the next Mishnah states, Komakum sheish mecher en knas, wherever there's a right of sale, meaning a katana, whose father can sell her as an ami ivria, there's no fine, referring to the 50 shekel knas paid by one who seduces or violates her. But komakum sheish knas en mecher, and wherever there's a fine, referring to a nara, there's no right of sale, meaning the father can no longer sell her. Rav notes that this Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim hold, there is a knas at the same age as the right of sale. In a brisa, Rabbi Meir says that a katana, until growing 2 sa'aros, can be sold and does not obligate kanas if she's violated, and after she grows 2 sa'aros, she does obligate kanas and cannot be sold. But the Chachamim say, katana mebaskimo shan v'yom echad, ashi tibhager, a minor girl from 3 years of age, until she becomes a full adult, yesha kanas, she does obligate a fine if she's violated, in addition to being able to be sold while she's a katana. And point number 3, the Mishnah states, Komakum sheish takia ein havdalah. Wherever there's a horn blast, there's no havdalah, and wherever there is havdalah, there's no takia. It explains that when Yontav falls on Erev Shabbos, we sound a horn to announce the approach of Shabbos, warning people to stop performing malachas, which are only permitted on Yontav, but do not recite havdalah, since Shabbos has greater restrictions. When Yontav falls on Motzi Shabbos, we recite Havdalah, but do not sound the horn, since the departing day of Shabbos has greater restrictions than the entering day of Yontav. In contrast to an ordinary Erev Shabbos, Rav Yehuda says that on Yontav, one blows a truah from within the tekiah, and Rav Asi says he blows a tekiah and truah with one breath. The Mishnah concludes that when reciting the Havdalah from Shabbos into Yontav, one says, Hamavdil ben Kodesh leKodesh, who separates between holy and holy. Rabbi Dosa holds, one says, Ben Kodesh Chamer or Kodesh HaKal, between greater holiness and lesser holiness. Amram debate if this text is only said B'chasimasa at the bracha's conclusion, or even at B'sichasa at its beginning, but the halacha follows the first opinion. So once again, the 3 points are, number 1, Rav Nachman said, in Rabba Bar Avua's name, Temed Shalakhu Bekesav Meiser. Temed, a drink made by soaking grape seeds in water, which one purchased with Meiser Sheni money, meaning money used to redeem Meiser produce, Ubasov Hichmitz, and the Temed later fermented, Kana Meiser. The Temed acquires Meiser status. Although it had not fermented at the time of purchase, Igu Milsu Mafreya Deperahu. It is retroactively revealed that it was a fruit product since it was capable of fermenting. The Gemara objects that the previous Mishnah taught that only fermented Temed may be purchased with Meiser money, but not unfermented Temed. But perhaps if he would leave the Temed, it would later ferment as the majority does. Rabbi answers that the Mishnah's cases where he retained a cup of Temed, which did not ferment. Rava says that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. A Mishnah states that if 3 lugin of water, minus a mere kortov, was completed with a kortov of wine or milk, it does not disqualify a mikveh of less than 40 saw. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Hakol holech achav amara. Everything follows the color. Thus, 3 lugin, which includes milk, would disqualify the mikveh. Here, since the temet appears and tastes like water, he holds it cannot be purchased with Meiser funds. Point number 2, the next Mishnah states, Komakum sheish mecher en knas, wherever there's a right of sale, meaning a katana, whose father can sell her as an ami ivria, there's no fine, referring to the 50 shekel knas paid by one who seduces or violates her. But komakum sheish knas en mecher, and wherever there's a fine, referring to a nara, there's no right of sale, meaning the father can no longer sell her. Rav notes that this Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim hold there is a Knas at the same age as the right of sale. In a brisa, Rabbi Meir says that a katana until growing two sa'aros can be sold and does not obligate Knas if she's violated, and after she grows two sa'aros, she does obligate Knas and cannot be sold. But the Chachamim say, katana mebas gimel shana v'yom echad ashit tibhager, a minor girl from 3 years of age until she becomes a full adult, yesha Knas, she does obligate a fine if she's violated, in addition to being able to be sold while she's a katana. And point number 3, the Mishnah states, Kol makom sheyesh takia ein havdalah. Wherever there's a horn blast, there's no havdalah, and wherever there is havdalah, there's no takia. It explains that when Yontav falls on Erev Shabbos, we sound a horn to announce the approach of Shabbos, warning people to stop performing malachas, which are only permitted on Yontav, but do not recite havdalah, since Shabbos has greater restrictions. When Yontav falls on Motzi Shabbos, we recite Havdalah but do not sound the horn, since the departing day of Shabbos has greater restrictions than the entering day of Yontav. In contrast to an ordinary Erev Shabbos, Rav Yehuda says that on Yontav, one blows a trua from within the tekiah, and Rav Asi says he blows a tekiah and trua with one breath. The Mishnah concludes that when reciting the Havdalah from Shabbos into Yontav, one says, Hamavdil ben Kodesh leKodesh, who separates between holy and holy. Rabbi Dosa holds, one says, Ben Kodesh Chamer or Kodesh HaKal, between greater holiness and lesser holiness. Amram debate if this text is only said B'chasimasa at the bracha's conclusion, or even at B'sichasa at its beginning, but the halacha follows the first opinion. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Chavav, and our standard Siman is a military coup. Military coup, we use soldiers in the Siman, so here goes. The soldiers of the military coup who bought Temet with Maaser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along. We're examining it when they stopped to help a lost young girl who couldn't tell if she was of the age to be sold or receive kanas, and then suddenly heard a tekiah on Yom Tov Erev Shabbos, signaling them to stop permitted malacha and that there would be no havdalah. Once again, slow motion. The soldiers of the military coup. Military coup? That must have been around Daf Chavav. The soldiers of the military coup who had bought Temet with Maaser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said in Rabba Bar Abua's name, Temed Shalachu Bekesav Maaser. Temed, a drink made by soaking grape seeds in water, which one purchased with Maaser Sheni money, meaning money used to redeem Maaser produce, Ubesof Hichmitz, and the Temed later fermented, Kana Maaser. The Temed acquires Maaser status. Although it had not fermented at the time of purchase, Igul Milse Lumafreya Deperahu, it is retroactively revealed that it was a fruit product since it was capable of fermenting. So, the soldiers of the military coup who had bought Temet with Maaser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along, were examining it when they stopped to help a lost young girl and couldn't tell if she was the age to be sold or receive a kanas, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kol makom sheyesh mecher ein kanas. Wherever there's a right of sale, meaning a katana, whose father can sell her as an amar ivriya, there's no fine, meaning the 50 shekel kanas, paid by one who seduces or violates her. But kol makom sheyesh kanas ein mecher, and wherever there's a fine, referring to a nara, there's no right of sale, meaning the father can no longer sell her. Rav notes that this Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim hold there is a kanas at the same age as the right of sale. So the soldiers in the military coup who had bought Temet with Maaser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along, were examining it when they stopped to help a lost young girl and couldn't tell if she was of the age to be sold or receive a kanas, and then suddenly heard a tekiah on Yom Tov Erev Shabbos, signaling them to stop permitted malacha and that there would be no havdalah, which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Kol makom sheyesh tekiah ein havdalah. Wherever there's a horn blast, there's no havdalah, and wherever there's havdalah, there's no tekiah. It explains that when Yontav falls on Erev Shabbos, we sound a horn to announce the approach of Shabbos, warning people to stop performing malacha, which are only permitted on Yontav, but do not recite havdalah, since Shabbos has greater restrictions. When Yontav falls on Motzi Shabbos, we recite havdalah, but do not sound the horn, since the departing day of Shabbos has greater restrictions than the entering day of Yontav. So once again, the soldiers of the military coup had bought Temet with Maaser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along, were examining it when they stopped to help a lost young girl and couldn't tell if she was of the age to be sold or receive a kanas, and then suddenly heard a tekiah on Yom Tov Erev Shabbos signaling them to stop permitted malacha and that there would be no havdalah. All right, so now it's time for our 4 Blatbach Chazara. Daf Chav Beis. So the Siman Daf Chav Beis is a cab. So here goes. The cab. That must be on Daf Chabez, the cat that picked up the young turtle dove and the old pigeon when they were told they were pasul for a carbon, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kashi b'torim pasul b'vnei yona. What's acceptable as a carbon regarding torim is not acceptable regarding b'nei yona, and vice versa. Trios atzihuv, the beginning of yowling, an intermediate stage of both types of birds, is pasul. Abraisa explains that torim must be gedoim, mature, whereas b'nei yona must be katanim, young. But young torim and mature b'nei yona are invalid. So the cat that picked up the young turtle dove and the old pigeon, when they were told they were pasul for carbon, after dropping off a turtle dove with golden feathers and a pigeon that was bleeding from a pulled feather, which were valid, which reminds us, the Gemara defines from when torim and b'nei yona are valid. Turtle doves are valid as karbanas from when they turn gold and have completed the intermediate stage. B'nei yona become valid from when one pulls a feather from it and it bleeds. So the cat that picked up the young turtle dove and the old pigeon when they were told they were pasul for carbon, after dropping off a turtle dove with golden feathers and a pigeon that was bleeding from a pulled feather, which were valid, was from trios hatzihuv, cab surfaces, and driven by a bird that proudly introduced itself as a beria and not a safek, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera asks, if one vowed to bring an ola either from Torim or B'nai Yona, whichever he chooses, and he brought both types of birds when they were in the stage of Tchilas HaTziuv, the beginning of yelling, what is the halacha? Sveika havi, v'nafik, is such a bird normally disqualified because it's of doubtful status, whether it's considered young or mature, and in this case he's Yossi since he brought both types, ensuring that whichever status it is, one ola was valid, odilma beria havi v'nafik. Or perhaps it's disqualified because it's an independent entity, neither young nor mature. And he was not Yotzi in this case because both birds are disqualified. Daf Chaf Gimel. So the Siman Daf Chaf Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. The man who pledged to bring an ola from either a canvas or an aisle, if his son wins the Kugelach competition, Kugelach, that must be on Daf Chaf Gimel. The man who pledged to bring an ola from either a canvas or an aisle, if his son wins the kugel competition, and brought a palgas, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera asked, if one vowed to bring an ola from either an aisle, a ram, that means it's above 13 months of age, or a canvas, a lamb, which means it's within its first 12 months, and he brought a palgas, a sheep between these ages, is he yotze? This question depends on a malchokas and a marayim, whether a palgas is considered a suffolk, aisle, or a canvas, or a beria. So the man who pledged to bring an ola from either a canvas or an aisle, if his son wins the kugelach competition and brought a palgas, and the man who pledged to bring 10 loaves from either chametz or matzah for our toda, if his son wins and brought siur, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera asked, if one vowed to bring 10 total loaves from either chametz or matzah, since a toda consists of both types, and he brought siur, partially leavened dough, is he yotze? The question depends on the definition and status of siur, whether it's considered a safek, chametz or matzah, or a beria. So the man who pledged to bring an ola from either a canvas or an aisle, if his son wins the kugelach competition, and brought a palgas, and the man who pledged to bring 10 loaves from either from chametz or matzah for a toda, if his son wins and brought siur, wave flags for their son's teams, a shechita flag for team para, and an arifa flag for team egla, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, kosher b'para pasul b'egla, what's valid for a para duma is invalid for egla rufa. Kosher b'egla, pasul b'para. What is valid for an egla rufa is invalid for a para duma. Abraisa explains that the para duma is valid when killed with shechita, but invalid when killed with arifa, decapitation, whereas an egla rufa is valid when killed with arifa and invalid when killed with shechita. Daf Chav Dalet, so the similar Daf Chav Dalet is a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. The Baal Mun Kohen and 50-year-old Levi retiring after 20 years were given thank you for your service pitchers, which reminds us, Kohanim were disqualified with Mumim, and Levim were disqualified by years. The age of restriction of 30 to 50 only applied in the Midbar, where the Pasuk mentions Avodas Masa, the work of a burden carrying the Mishkan and his kelim, but did not apply in Shiloh or the base of Migdash. Still, Levim are disqualified, but Kol because of their voice, if they can't sing together with the choir of Levim. So the Baal Mum Kohen and 50-year-old Levi, retiring after 20 years, were given thank you for your service pitchers by the elderly Kohen who did the avoda from when he grew shtei sa'aros until he got old and started to shake from weakness, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that a Kohen is qualified to serve after growing two sa'aros, meaning reaching maturity, ad sheyaskin, until he grows old. Rabbi Chanina defines this as ad sheyirsas, until he shakes from weakness. The Tanakhama says that a Kohen is fit for avoda after growing shtei sa'aros, but Rebbe says he's not fit until he's 20 years old. So the Baal Mum Kohen and 50-year-old Levi retiring after 20 years were given thank you for your service pitchers by the elderly Kohen who did the avoda from when he grew shtei sa'aros until he got old and started to shake from weakness, who didn't notice that on the shelf there was a dead sheres in the airspace of a clay pitcher and a dead one touching the outside of a metal one, which reminds us a kli cheres contracts tumah through its airspace, but other kelim contract tumah by being touched. Daf Chav Hei. So the Siman Daf Chav Hei is the 25th silver anniversary. So here goes. The cheapskate husband who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, 25th silver anniversary? That must be around Daf Chav Hei. The cheapskate husband who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, a flat wooden kalim and unfinished metal kalim, was perfect because they're not makabel tuma, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, that what is tame, meaning susceptible to tuma, regarding wooden kalim is tame regarding metal kalim and vice versa. Abraisa explains, gomei kli eitz, unfinished wooden utensils, are tame, but pshutem, flat wooden kalim are tame. Unfinished metal kalim are tahor, and flat metal kalim are tame. Some examples of unfinished kalim include those which require polishing, adorning, planing, or lack of base or handle, but are usable for their intended purpose. So the cheapskate husband who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, a flat wooden kalim and unfinished metal kalim, was perfect because they're not makabel tuma, was dismayed that his wife didn't appreciate when he served small bitter almonds and large sweet ones that were chayiv b'maiser, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a chayiv b'shkedim hamarim, what is obligated in separating maiser in the case of bitter almonds, patu b'masukim, is exempt in the case of sweet almonds and vice versa. Abraisa explains that regarding bitter almonds, small ones are obligated in maiser, while large ones are exempt because they're generally eaten while small before they become too bitter. Regarding sweet almonds, the large ones are subject to maaser, while the small ones are exempt because people generally wait until they fully mature. So the cheapskate husband, who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, a flat wooden kalim and unfinished metal kalim, was perfect because they're not makabel tuma, was dismayed that his wife didn't appreciate it when he served small bitter almonds and large sweet ones that were chayiv b'maaser, and a drink of unfermented tamid that he was unfortunately not allowed to purchase with Meiser Sheni Manis, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, HaTemet Achol Hichmitz, Temet, a drink made by soaking grape seeds in water, which is not yet fermented, Eino Nikach Bekesef Meiser, cannot be purchased with Meiser Sheni Mani, meaning money used to redeem Meiser produce, Uposol as a mikveh, and it disqualifies a mikveh which lacks 40 saw of rainwater. This Temet is considered water despite its wine flavor. After fermenting, it's considered wine and may be purchased with Meiser Mani and would not disqualify a mikveh. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do you discuss the maaser obligations of bitter or sweet almonds? That's on daf Chav Hei. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you discuss the ages when a girl can be sold and when she obligates kanas? That's on daf Chavav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you in the paradum is killed with shechita and egla rufa is killed with decapitation? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do in the Torah must be mature and Bnei Yonah must be young to be brought as a carbon? That's on daf Chav Beis. Good. Number 5. Which daf do in that unfinished wood kalim are makabel tuma but unfinished metal kalim are not? That's on daf Chav Hei. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss what the din is? If one cut a third of the kana beyond the shechit area, then cut a third within the correct area, and then cut the final third beyond the correct area, that's on daf Yutes. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss if a palgas is considered a suffix, isle, or kevis, or a birya? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you want a kli cheres contracts tuma through its airspace, but other kalim contract tuma by being touched? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss what the din is of temet bought with maaser sheni money, which later fermented? That's on daf Chav Vav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you want about the tekiah of yantiv on Erev Shabbos and the havdal of yantiv on Motzi Shabbos? That's on daf Chavav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.